While Paul was in prison, he was aided by a runaway slave named Onesimus. The slave's master, Philemon, was a Christian friend of Paul. Paul told Onesimus to return to his master and encouraged Philemon to receive Onesimus back as a Christian brother. A reading from Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love, and I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntarily and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The words of eternal life.
Thanks be to God.
You will notice in your bulletin a sermon insert, an insert of intended to be a summary of the sermon. I encourage you to review that after the service, if helpful, so as not to get distracted. This morning I present to you the lost preface of Onesimus. Imagine the following. A team of biblical archaeologists has recently unearthed a collection of writings by Christians of the late first century. One of these writings is a preface by Onesimus, the runaway slave Paul tried to set free, according to Philemon, our second reading for today. Listen closely now to Onesimus, who shares with his readers at the end of the first century his story as a preface to a collection of writings he was gathering for the church at large. Onesimus, a former prisoner to the world, now a slave to Christ Jesus. To my fellow saints in Ephesus and to our bishop Ignatius, the God-inspired of Antioch, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was nearly 50 years ago now that I met the Apostle Paul. Many of you have heard of Paul. He was executed in Spain for his allegiance to Christ. By his own testimony, he endured great hardships, yet always with a resiliency that could only come to him by the power of God in Christ Jesus, the one in whom he could do all things. When I met Paul, I was a slave. It was my second visit to Ephesus, the very city in which you live, where Paul was in prison at the time. My first visit to Ephesus ended badly. I had run away from my master, Philemon. Born into slavery from parents I never knew, I longed to see what it was like beyond Philemon's estate at the edge of Colossae. I heard so many stories from recently acquired slaves, men and women who had once lived freely in the streets of places like Rome, that great city built on seven hills that would ultimately consume so many of our fellow saints in the blood of martyrdom. They caught me at the seaport, where I was imprisoned until Philemon came. The guards beat me. Had I been a slave of a less forgiving master, I probably would have been branded on the face as punishment, the typical penalty, as you know, for slaves who run away. Yet as merciful as Philemon was, my heart still longed for freedom. We returned to Colossae, and I became what I formerly was, useful, which, as you know, is the meaning of my name in Greek, and one that masters commonly give to their slaves. Fortunately, Philemon felt the beating I received in prison was more than sufficient, and so life resumed to normal. But that taste of freedom, however brief, never left me. Over the next 2 years, I was dutiful to Philemon, who had become increasingly gentle and kind. One day I noticed something different that explained the change. People were gathering in the evenings at his house. From my servant quarters across the yard, I would hear them sing soft, strange melodies, beautiful melodies that the breeze would carry to me about a Savior who brought precisely that for which I longed, freedom. One day, Philemon approached me. He gave me a letter I was to deliver to a gathering like the one he hosted, another group of people who sang hymns of a Savior at a house in Ephesus. I was stunned. I may not have earned my freedom, but I had earned my master's trust. I left at dawn. I carried Philemon's letter with me. Ephesus, as you know, is a bustling city compared to Colossae. Its seaport brings together strangers from all over the empire. When I arrived in Ephesus for the second time, I felt an intoxicating desire for freedom. Yet I also wished to remain loyal to Philemon, who trusted me. And of course, I wanted to be useful, as my name indicates. So I hastened toward the house church where I was to deliver the letter. It was near the prison where I had stayed several years prior. My heart pounded as I passed by. When I finally arrived, I gave the letter to the woman who opened the door. She invited me in. The people inside greeted me warmly, a highly unusual reception for a slave like I was. Further in the room, there was much talking and a spirit of deep concern, for someone very close to them had been imprisoned in the jail I had just passed. It was Paul. Now, prisons of our time, as you know, are not places where the innocent reside until proven guilty. They are places of confinement and death, where potential troublemakers are kept from rousing others to action. Prisoners depend on family and friends to show up with food to keep them from starving. No sooner had I arrived when Tychicus, the leader of the house church, asked me to be useful, which I am, and take food to Paul. And so I did. When I arrived, the guards reluctantly let me pass. How strange to be a guest in the jail where I had once been captive. Paul was alone in a dark and humid cell at the end of a long hallway. He was elderly, bald, small in stature. He sat by the bars of the window, bars that symbolized my whole life. My hands, trembling at the sight of the prison guards, remained unsettled. Moments passed until he broke the silence. "Grace and peace," he said to me. "My name is Paul." "My name is Onesimus," I replied. I gave him his food. "You are a slave?" he asked. "Yes," I replied. "Stay." We talked. I was amazed at how kindly he regarded me. Remember again that I was a slave. I had no identity. I didn't even have a name. When I returned to the house in Ephesus, Tychicus asked me to remain with them to help provide for Paul. Knowing that it would be temporary and assuming my master would agree, I took it on. For several weeks, I took food to Paul from the church, and each time Paul would share with me the gospel, the good news of a Savior who came to free us from the power of sin, a power that had enslaved not just people like me, but all of creation. This is why we see suffering and death in the world, why nature groans in bondage to decay. Now, if anyone could understand sin as an enslaving power, it was I. Philemon had become kinder as a master, but the servants over me were cruel. They forced me to perform intensive labor, sometimes 12 to 14 hours a day. I toiled. I was in their bondage, especially when Philemon was gone. I always thought the world outside was free, but for Paul, it too was in chains. People were not just physically captive as I was. They were captive to their desires, desires that would dehumanize them, idols of various kinds like the love of money and the thirst for greed. Who could escape? Then Paul shared with me the gospel, that somehow God's fierce love had broken the power of sin, that it was beginning to set people free from idolatry, free from excessive self-regard. This love empowered us to let go and love others. Paul, I discovered, was calling me to freedom, not just from physical slavery, but freedom from my bondage to things I thought could fulfill me, but never ultimately would. "Believe and be baptized," Paul finally told me. And one day, in the darkness of a small cell, he sprinkled water over my head as thin rays of light beamed through the bars of the window. I had been claimed. I had been freed. Then Paul did something I will never forget. He explained to me that perhaps I had been separated from Philemon for a while so that Philemon might have me back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. Can you imagine just for a moment what it felt like to be called something more than a slave? To be elevated from useful and subservient to the status of brother? To be told that I am equal to others as part of something greater than myself, the body of Christ, where all divisions we take as absolute, Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, crumble away. After my experience with Paul, I returned to the house church in Ephesus. I was elated. I was now a brother among equals, something entirely foreign to any of my kind in the entire Roman empire. My joy, however, great as it was brief. Tychicus stood somberly at the door with bad news. Philemon assumed I had run away. Holding a letter from Philemon in his hand, Tychicus shared with me my master's feeling. I was no longer useful, Philemon wrote. I was useless. What could I do? The day passed. I remained in Ephesus. In the evening, I was invited to join those gathered for worship in the main house. I was now a brother to them in the faith, one with them in the body of Christ. As we sang hymns, tears streamed down my face. All around me were equals, and among them I counted. I mattered. I meant something. And then, after the sharing of bread and wine in Christ's name, announcing our oneness in Christ's body, Tychicus stood up and read a letter written by Paul. It was Philemon. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, Paul wrote, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. I couldn't believe my ears. Paul was doing something for me that no other person had. He was requesting my freedom, and he was doing so in the name of the gospel. The next day I left, letter in hand, for Colossae. The journey was difficult. I couldn't determine how Philemon would respond. After all, I was still his slave. I could be punished. I thought about face branding and even crucifixion. As I approached his house, the servants pointed at me and whispered. Philemon came out, unusually stern in appearance. I gave him the letter in silence and looked to the ground. Moments passed. The wind, gentle that day, ceased. I waited. Then I felt a hand on my shoulder. Brother in Christ, Philemon said, by grace you are free. Now you will be far more useful, no longer to me, but to the Lord. We feasted that evening. I returned the next day to Ephesus to work with Paul until he left. And as you know, I remained your brother ever since, over half a century now, working closely with our bishop Ignatius, who named me in one of his letters as a man of love beyond recounting. I am Onesimus, he who is useful to the Lord, and I am who I am because of the gospel that has called me to freedom. But now, dear ones, my time is short. As Paul did to Philemon, I write to you as an old man. As a token of my gratitude, I have gathered all of his letters scattered among various churches and included them with this preface as a special gift. Perhaps they will become part of this New Testament some of you are discussing, but to that I will leave you and the rest of the church Catholic to decide. Paul made my whole life possible. And so while his letter to Philemon, which I have included, is the smallest of this collection, it is the largest and greatest in stature for me, a man once merely a slave to some, now a brother to all in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord. May God then do for you what God has done for me, free you in all areas of life, And may the letters of Paul that I offer here guide you in your faith, encourage you in the good news, strengthen our church, and keep you in God's grace. Amen.